Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I can relate with the man in the parable from our gospel text for today. It was just a few summers ago. In fact, the summer that my wife and family moved to Illinois, I bought a jalapeno plant. I was so excited. I bought a jalapeno plant. And if you know anything about me, you know that I love spicy food. And so I took the plant. I put it outside in its full sunlight. I fertilized it. I watered it. And I watched it flower. And you know, when it flowers, that's when you start getting really excited, because you know that those juicy, spicy jalapenos are about to come out. And then nothing. For several months, I diligently looked after this little plant. No jalapeno peppers for me. Every day watering this plant, and as you can imagine, I was rather frustrated. After making every effort to take care of it, every effort to get just one pepper, nothing. The stupid plant just wouldn't produce. So I gave up. I gave up on this little plant, and over the winter, I won't lie to you, it gave me no end to pleasure to see all of the leaves fall off this little plant. And by the time spring rolled around the next year, it was just a forked twig in the ground. I sadly had to buy my jalapenos at the grocery store. Now, the man who owns the vineyard in our text is experiencing something much the same. For 3 years, he takes care of the fig tree, but he gets nothing. Now, if we want to understand the parable, we first have to understand what is going on. We have to understand who the characters are. We have to understand what Jesus is actually talking about. And so, in order to understand that, we have to understand the context. And so, as our gospel text opens, we hear about Galilean Jews who are being slaughtered, who are being killed on the temple grounds by Pontius Pilate. Killed as they're offering their sacrifices. See, what was going on was that there was what was called the Roman occupation. What that means is that the Romans were literally the ones who ruled Israel. They ruled the nation. They ruled in the city of Jerusalem. And that means the Jews had to abide by certain government rules and regulations that the Romans had set up. They weren't always very courteous to religious practices of the Jews. And so what happened? But Pontius Pilate would send his soldiers into the temple grounds, right to where they're offering sacrifices, somewhere that soldiers really ought not to be. And what do? They slaughter. They kill. And the blood of the Jews is literally intermixing with the blood of the sacrifices. Now, this is all great to know this historical background, but let's bring it to the future. Let's bring it to 2016. This would be like if you were living in the Middle East and you came to a church or somewhere other than that as a place of worship, and you decided that this was going to be a day when you got to receive the Lord's Supper. And so as the pastor consecrates the bread and the wine, turning it into Jesus' very body and blood, all of a sudden, ISIS comes in, kicks down the door, and guns down the whole church, intermixing the blood of the people with the blood on the altar. Do you understand the outrage now? Do you understand why the Jews would be so upset by what Pontius Pilate has done? And so they come to Jesus. Jesus, what do you think of all of this? But Jesus doesn't blame the government. Instead, Jesus turns it around. He says, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus doesn't give a political answer. He gives a religious one. He doesn't focus on the government's evil. Instead, he focuses on the sinful state of all humanity. Do you think people who die a death like that are any worse or any better than anybody else? Of course not. Jesus flips the question around and points it right back at the people who ask him. What should be done in the midst of a world where such atrocities are allowed to carry on? Where people can be killed in God's holy house? What should be done? Repent. Repent or perish. Now, Jesus clearly knows that everyone is going to perish, that death is going to steal everyone. No one can escape it. And so Jesus here isn't talking about perishing on this earth physically. He's talking about the perishing that's going to take place eternally in hell. And so repent or perish. Now, the second historical event that Jesus brings up today in our gospel reading is this Tower of Siloam, or tower near Siloam. There was a pool, a little sort of area with the water in Jerusalem called Siloam. And there was a tower built next to it. What happened? But the tower fell over onto 18 people. This event was not politically charged. It was a natural occurrence of sorts. In other words, there was really no one to point the finger at. Sometimes bad stuff happens, and it's really no one's fault. There's no one to point the finger at, no clear person to blame for the tragedy that's happened. And so Jesus says, well, what of that? What should be done in the midst of a world where tragedy can strike and there's really no one to blame for it? What should we do in a world where bad things happen for no apparent reason? Repent or perish. That is Jesus' words for this world. Repent or perish. You see, neither of these events take place because the people involved were exceptionally sinful. These people from Jesus' time didn't come to their sad demise because they were worse sinners than anyone else. Instead, bad things happen in our world because mankind is sinful as a whole. Because the sinful condition has spread to the whole earth. Bad things happen because our first parents, Adam and Eve, ate the fruit that they ought not to have eaten. And thus, sin began to rule in our world. And sin rules in our lives. So when these sorts of bad things happen, we might run to God and ask, why, God? Just like those in our text run to Jesus and say, why, Jesus? Why has this happened? To which Jesus tells us, there is sin in this world. He gives us the answer to our problems. What must we do in a sin-filled world? Repent or perish. And that brings us back to the parable. In the parable, it goes like this. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. As you may imagine, the man who owns the vineyard is God himself. You are the fig tree, and Jesus is the vine dresser. You see, God has to execute wrath on this earth. For those who do not bear fruit in keeping with repentance, God has to cut it down. That is just a truth. He has to punish sin. In order for him to be a just God, a righteous God, he has to punish this sinful world. He has to punish the sinners who live in it. And so he does. In the civil realm, maybe emotionally, maybe physically, we all suffer in this life at one time or another. Why? Because sin exists. But who comes to the aid of the fig tree? Who comes to your aid? Jesus. The vine dresser, Jesus himself, comes to your aid. He says, give them one more chance. Give them one more shot at repentance. Give them one more go that they might get it right. Give them one more chance to show that they can be the sort of fig tree that bears fruit. God wants to see fruit. He doesn't want to cut down the fig tree. That fruit is repentance. And so, in other words, repent or perish. Now, you might be asking yourself, what is this repentance? How can I repent? I don't want God's wrath. I'm sure you don't want God's wrath. I don't want to be cut down. What must I do? Well, in the parable, Jesus is the one who intercedes. The fig tree can't say, no, don't cut me down. It needs somebody to represent it. It needs someone to care for it. And so Jesus comes to stay God's wrath. He is the vine dresser who's going to take care of you. And so the answer, what must I do? You can do nothing. You can do nothing, but Jesus does everything for you. Trust that he will intercede on your behalf, that he will take care of you now and for all time. And so now, at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, as he tells us this parable, Jesus does the one thing necessary to take care of this plant, to take care of you, to make sure that you are not cut down. He dies. Jesus sheds his blood. His blood that washes over you, his blood that covers you, his blood that acts as that fertilizer, maybe, that can allow you to bear fruit. You must do nothing but believe it. Believe that what Jesus has done on the cross, he has done for you. And you will bear good fruit. He gives all of himself so that you do not get cut down. And there is nothing greater that Jesus could have done. No greater way to take care of you than giving his own life. For what happens to Jesus on the cross? But he takes your place. He is the one whose life is cut down so that you might live. And what's more, that he gives you himself every week. Especially this week, as we get to feast on his very body and blood, he gives us that eternal soul food that will nourish us not only in body, but into eternal life. Jesus gives us himself, that we might be strengthened. The vine dresser is interceding for you today. The vine dresser comes to you today that you may be strong and bear fruit. For repentance is the fruit of faith. Repentance, it includes both sorrow for sin and trust in the one who gives forgiveness. Be sorry for the things you have done wrong and trust that all of your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. So in the midst of this sin-filled world, where bad things happen to the righteous and the unrighteous, Jesus has a word for you today. Repent. Confess your sins. Turn away from them entirely and trust in Jesus. For by his interceding, his sacrificing, his love, his mercy, his faithfulness, his death, and his resurrection, you have forgiveness life and salvation. And God will never cut you down. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your repentance in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.